It's when you say in this life, no, I must not suffer. I must enjoy the good things of life. That's when you will never see it. Before you touch it like this, they pull it further away from you. Until you say, take it, I don't want. Then you never get it. As a child of God, I'm telling you. I gave you a testimony that my wife said she heard in a meeting once about a woman who prayed for, a woman should have children if she's married. She prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, 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 cried, 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 nothing. Then one day she said, God, look at my house, it's too fine. Look at me, I'm a nice looking person. Look at all the things I have in life. Said, God, that's the only thing you don't want to give me. Fine, forget it. The period she saw that month was the last for many years. You know, such things, you start burning every day, every time. Say, so she don't burn again. She don't burn again. She don't burn again every time. And she's like delivering. I'm telling you. After that, you just begin born. One after the other. You're getting the principle here. All right? Because, you know, that's just the thing. So, anyway, you know why I got that? I like to say those things to encourage people. You know, you read a bit, all right? Now, let's get back to our story, God Smuggler. The man said that in one of the episodes, when he traveled to one country, he was supposed to meet somebody. The address in that town, they were so confusing. He kept on going round and round. And finally, he had tried. He stopped somewhere. He was tired. They lit up his eyes, and he was right in front of the house. Do you get my point? He got tired in front of the house. Now, you know, I came up to that level when I'm talking about adding one good thing to another, adding faith to faith, adding perseverance to perseverance, working all this while in what the Bible calls patience. Then one day, suddenly, all right, it's as if you just take a turn. You know, you're walking like this, you couldn't see the sun. Then you take the next turn, then the sun is shining so bright. You say, oh, it's overnight success. No, this guy walked in darkness for years. In fact, maybe one day, one of the things I want to teach on radio very soon, when we finish maybe this Law of Faith series, you know, that's what we're in on radio now, Law of Faith, is that issue of how to handle affliction. It's very important. You know, I told you last time I was reading 2 Corinthians. That's all when I made up my mind on it. I was reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry, 2 Thessalonians, the whole book. And I realized that, look, that thing is so important. How to handle affliction. If you go and read around Isaiah chapter 30, thereabout, you will see that God even is angry with his servants that he keeps in darkness, and they by themselves light their own fire. He said, this you have of the hand of the Lord. You will lie down in sorrow. That is, if God keeps you in a place of limitation, you know, you have to be careful that you don't force yourself out of it. And you say, how do you do it? It's simple. What you just do is that anything that is wrong, don't do it. Because the opportunities by which you will force yourself out of the place of the limitation that God has kept you in will be very wrong things. Do you get my point? You will know. It will defile your conscience big time. You will know you are doing what is wrong. You will know. You will see it. You will know. They will be not begging you about it. But you can start explaining to yourself, you know, start explaining that after all, you know, when we have collected tithes from armed robbers, it is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you start explaining, you know, it will take you weeks and months to pacify your conscience about it. Then you know that you're about to lie down in sorrow when the judgment of God begins to come. I hope you've understood what I've said so far. All right, that's just what I wanted to emphasize about the iniquity of the Amorite that was not yet complete. Now we can get back to Genesis chapter 21. All right. So then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, Genesis chapter 21, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God has spoken. Now, please, this appointed time, if you remember, it was, you know, because if you see, when the angels were going to Sodom and Gomorrah, that's when they now told him that, according to the time of life, that is from now, maybe 9 months from that day, that your wife will deliver. Say, by this time next year, something like that. So that's what the appointed time that we're talking about. And I want to say this again. When we talk about appointed times, let me just emphasize it. Please, let's not think that once God has set a particular date, it cannot be shifted. Don't think about God like that. He said 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh was not overtaken according to the words of the prophet. Was he a lying prophet? No. There are other mitigating factors that came in, and they had to shift the date. Do you know that God said to Eli, he said, did I not swear to your father's house that you guys will be priests before me forever? He said, now, far be it from me. And this God looked and said, that was then. This is now. I've changed my mind. He said, what do you promise? He said, I've changed my mind since. When did you change your mind? Because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. When the sons of men don't do things that are in agreement with the promise of God, God cannot fulfill his promise. Remember we read that one earlier. He said, see, I have chosen Abraham, seeing that he would teach his families, his descendants after him, to the ways of the Lord, the righteousness and justice. All right, that God might bring to pass the things that he has promised concerning Abraham. That is, if his descendants did not do righteousness and justice, that one I promise you. Suspension. You get my point? So you can have a suspended promise. And this will even help you understand. You know when they suspend a sentence. You know if you want your sentence. Let's assume that they say you are a first offender. And you are a nice guy. Say the only thing they've seen you do in life is go for Bible study. So this one what you do now? Nah, mistake. So the judge will say okay. According to the law, we'll still give you 5 years imprisonment. But we'll suspend it. They suspend it for a number of years I think. Uh-huh. So let's assume they suspend it for 2 years. Alright, fine. In those 2 years, if you want to go to jail, it's very simple. Just beat a traffic, just over speed and let them catch you. You know, do something wrong. Your suspended sentence becomes actualized. You understand my point? That sentence is suspended believing that you won't break laws. You will just behave yourself. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. In the same manner, when blessing is suspended, it is because people have not done what is right to bring in the blessing. Are you getting my point? All right, let's just continue reading. And so Sarah conceived, verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. That name means, as you know, laughter. Is that okay? And then verse 5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born to him. And Sarah said, God, see, I'm jumping now just because of speed, all right? God made me... He said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Now, let me jump down to, please, where some issues begin to arise. In verse 9, he said that now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, that is Ishmael, mocking. Now, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son, Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Now, but God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. Now, let me just stop there for a while and then explain a few things. I hope that won't take all the time. Now, the first thing I want to bring out here is the fact that he said that Sarah saw something. What exactly? People have not agreed on exactly what she said. But some people say mocking, some said playing. Whatever it is, whatever she saw displeased her. Okay? And whether it was good or bad, I don't know. But all I know is that she felt that that boy couldn't continue to live in that house. And she presented the case to her husband and said that, now what you are going to do, sir, is to drive out this maid and her son. And of course, number one, you know where it started from. It was not Abraham that started it alone. It was Sarah that started it primarily. Number two, this is his son, though it's not the son of promise, but it's a son that he had been taking care of, and the son has been growing in his house, and the boy calls him daddy. You are getting the point. And then, so, when you add that to the thought fact that this whole thing doesn't appear right, you follow my point? Definitely, it made sense that the guy did not agree. He said the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Therefore, the guy was not planning to do it. How do I know? God had to intervene. Alright? Now, this is the thing about obeying God. It's often very painful. Are you getting my point? It's often very painful. But, you see, God doesn't look at the immediate pain. He looks at the ultimate picture, the thing that we are really going for. Are you getting my point? God said to Abraham, the problem here is that your son will be named through Isaac. Therefore, this boy cannot stay in that house. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You know, remember, if I explained that one before, it was the prayer of Abraham that sustained the life of Ishmael in the first place. You are getting that point. Now, it's important we understand that. Now, the things of God, that's the way they are. Sometimes they don't, immediately they appear grievous to the flesh. But there's another principle I want to explain there in a moment. Let me just say this and then I'll get there. They appear grievous to the flesh, but God, looking at where he's going, makes people do things that are not, you know, they may even appear to the casual eye as very wrong. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? But of course, the person who's obeying God, one or two things, either understands the spiritual principles behind it or has this communication from above that he cannot doubt. You know, the people who hide behind everything God said when they want to do everything. All right? If you want to change your mind, you just pray about it, then God will definitely tell you what you want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was listening to Pastor Paul the other day. He said he doesn't go for counseling. He said, and he doesn't like people coming to him for counseling. I was telling my wife that, well, I understand what he's saying, but I don't totally practice like he's saying. He said that he has found out that a lot of people come, well, he didn't say a lot. I'm the one modifying it to make it sound nice. But what was in that a lot of people come for counseling, actually, they know what they should do. They know what they want to do. And they're just looking for somebody to agree with them on what they want to do as opposed to what they should do. A lady came to me once. They said that she wanted to counsel in church, and they said that, okay, she couldn't see the pastor, that whether she won't mind seeing another pastor. She said, no problem. They told her to see me. All right. So I said, what's the problem? They started telling the stories. She's working somewhere. They transferred her somewhere, and her husband is not in the country, and he objected to the transfer and said that if they insist, then she should resign the job. And she didn't think she should resign the job because it means leaving where they are based to another place. And I said, so? He said that the guy doesn't want to change. He said, you want me to talk to your husband? I'm not going to talk to your husband, for goodness sake. He doesn't know me. You get my point? He said, no, that she doesn't know what to do. Ah, you don't know what to do? What you should do is grievous. That's why you have come here. It's not like you don't know what to do. You know what to do. The man had his reason for insisting. You were walking all this while he didn't say anything. Are you getting my point? He said, the guy is not settled very well yet. Where he is, it's not as if he has a lot of money. He's just still trying to settle down. But he still sent you small money, yes. That they really need this money that she's earning. Does he not know all of these things? He does. So why are you? No, like, at the point in time, I was like, look, okay, sorry, I'm very, very sorry. I don't know what else to tell you than discuss with your husband. If he doesn't change his mind, well, I think, you know, and in my heart, the man, she, it was part of the love for his wife that there's a reason why I made that statement. And I said, look, for goodness sake. In fact, at the point in time, I started getting tired, like, well, I've said what I want to say, I'm going my way. You obviously, you know what you should do, and you know what you want to do. What she wanted to hear was that, look, you have to be firm. You won't say because you're a woman, you let a man just ride you up and down like that. Let me pray with you. Let us agree. In the name of... that one, I lie. I will not be partakers of anybody's iniquity. I'm going my way. I'm telling you, I won't share anybody's problem. You go and suffer your punishment, and if you want to cause problem in your house. Don't say, you know, call the nurse and say that, look, no, I've talked to my pastor. My pastor said that I shouldn't resign the job. Then you now pitch your pastor, you pitch your husband against your God. You know what I'm going to say? So no, I've prayed about it. My spirit doesn't agree. You're talking to your husband. Okay. This is just by the way. Young ladies, you're engaged. Don't use spirituality to harass anybody. Oh, you can hear. Are you people hearing now? No, it's true. No, my spirituality. You and your, maybe you, and even if you are married, because there are some married people behind at the back there. He just said that, look, I have gone to pray about it, and my spirit does not agree. You know, the guy said, I'm the son of Satan, have you? That's what you are saying, in effect. If you are just engaged, he will just run away. You won't see him again. He will just run away. Now, this is what I'm coming to next. Now, which is very, very important here. Now, why did I get this? You know, I think that somebody said they didn't like counseling. That people have made up their minds what they want to do. Yes, I started by saying that the things that people should do sometimes are quite grievous. But now that we are talking about the issue of, I give that as an example, let me now just go into the issue of Sarah. At this point, you will see that, you know, let me talk about nagging briefly. You know, have you heard the word nagging before? All right, the same thing as, there's a scriptural word for it, contentious wife. All right? And it says it's better to dwell in the corner of a roof, all right, on the rooftop here, than under that roof with a contentious woman. I've been married for, Slayo. I was married for entire university, Abby. I'm married for a very long time. I married in 1999. I'm not like these people at the back that just married last week. That's a lying car. I've been in active service now for how many years? Yes. You know, I traveled yesterday. I took my family down to Benin. When we came down from the car, I left my wife carrying my daughter, and they were walking, little boy, another bigger boy, and my wife were walking. I said, I'm a blessed man. I said, and it was born unto him sons and a daughter. Anyway, what I'm saying this is that, you know the interesting part? Long ago, I used to say, you know, my father is very quiet. My father is a very quiet person. He's a very quiet person. You know what that means? He's quiet. He doesn't argue much with his wife. That's my mother. He doesn't even beat his children much. I can remember the few times my father beat me. I remember the earliest one I remember was the day I said my mother should give me some money before I went to school. And she said that she didn't have money to give me. And my dad went to drop her at work. And I was at home waiting for the school bus to come. And the school bus came, horn. I didn't answer. So my father came back. You are still at home? I was looking at him. Then the school bus come. It came. I didn't go. And the man called one came. Because he understood why I did not go. Because I was very, very angry. My mother refused to give me maybe one cup of those days to use to buy sweets during break in school. So he flogged me very well. Now, he doesn't do that often. It's very, very rare. It's very, very rare. In fact, another time I remember I was much older. It was the prompting of my mother that brought the cane. Like, this boy is very, very unruly. So after harassing my father, you know, I said, okay, let's put some order into his life. He brought cane. Now, what am I trying to say? So you can imagine that such people, it's not likely you ever said that he beat his wife. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm telling the whole story. So when I grew up, I said, a man beat his wife. I said, what? To me, it was so strange. How can a man beat his wife? Wow. In fact, maybe it even sounded more normal for a boy to beat his father because, you know why? There was one boy living not too far away from us. He used to smoke Indian hemp. And then after smoking, he will beat his father. Then the father will call police. Then the police will arrest him. Then the father will go and bail him from. I was very smart. Then I need you know, because then they say the boy smoked Igbo. And you know, the word Igbo in Yoruba is both for Indian hemp and for literal bush. Like if there's a lot of weeds there, I'll say that there's bush Igbo there. If the guy ran into the forest, the word is still Igbo, you know? So they say, that boy, they smoke Igbo. I said, how can a man smoke forest? Do you know, for days as a young boy, I will sit and be imagining that. I'm used to people smoking cigarette they can hold in their hand. But how can he enter inside the bush? That he will set fire and sit inside. No, I really used to wonder as a child. I'm telling you, I couldn't understand how somebody smoked bush. Anyway. So for me, I simply beat their father. That one, at least, it was living nearby. But when they say man beat his wife, no. To me, it was a strange phenomenon. I didn't know what it was so called. Then, as I began to grow up, I grew up very well, you know what I say. Then, after I graduated from school, there was one young woman lived near, also one of my house officers. We used to go to my church. The girl had a very funny character. Christian girl. And I said, my God, if I marry this girl, I go beat her well. That is, no, it was expressed with that guy. And he understood why a man would beat his wife. Just being a casual friend, I almost beat her one day. You know, just being a casual friend, though, that's when I began to understand the meaning of a contentious woman. So when I see contentious woman, that's why they hide, though. You there, house? No, I'm not there. Is this your number? No, it's business center number. Don't call me, please. I became afraid. Like, what? So after that time, when they say a man beat his wife, say, that guy, can you believe he beat his wife? I said, come, ask him what happened first. I said, ask him now, is he mad? Nobody, I love you, take marry. Something must have happened. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, it's what we're talking about. When they say, I thought I've been married for a few years. Then when I'm now married, my wife is very good. My wife is very, very good. Yeah, there are times, I say, yeg beleo. If this thing continues for more than 1 hour, I will park to the corner of a roof, literally. Oh my God. You know, after I was married for a few years, and I think I have a very good marriage. I think so. I mean, I'm always running home. They're like, when I'm hungry, I run home. When I'm not, I run home. So I think it's good. I mean, I don't want to be a judge of my own situation. But this is the point. Even with that, after some time, I said, marriage is, either God's idea or don't go near it. When you see Americans, they divorce 2 per second, don't blame them. No. Just leave them alone. Just say, God, may God have mercy on all of you. What happened? No, listen. What happened is that the grace of God departed. You know, it's like you go and buy a Toyota. Say, I love this, my car so much. I love it so much. I want to give you the best fuel that I can afford. So instead of putting petrol that they said, he said that, look, your own car must run on high-grade engine oil. So you open the tank and pour engine oil into the tank. The love for your car doesn't matter. Toyota made it. He didn't say put engine oil here. He said put premium motor spirit, preferably unleaded. Are you getting my point? So a lot of our brethren in many parts of the world, including Nigeria also, married. And marriage is God's idea. God made it. And you want to, instead of asking God, which kind of word do we use? You're following my point? You want to use what seems right in your place. Grace will depart, and after 2 months, they file for divorce. I remember when the 2 Hollywood celebrities got married. They showed it on CNN. And they interviewed one guy. He said, what do you think about it? He said, lovely couple. I think they'll do well. At least 2 years. They'll last 2 years. I laughed. I think I said, lovely couple. I think they'll last up to 2 years. They'll last up to 2 years. Oh, God. It's not their fault. It's the grace of God that has missed. The grace of God left them long ago. Let me say this. You cannot talk or preach hard enough to restore them. You can't. Because let me tell you what. If they threw you inside their shoes, you too, you will run. Absolutely. No, absolutely. Don't say, no, me, I'm a man. I can't start. All right. When they throw hot frying pan in your face, filled with, you know, you got what, and there's liquid inside. Once you dodge, second time, he said, unless they design this your face for you, you too, you will go. I'm telling you. So look, all those things, after I married Vivi, I began to give God thanks for his grace. That what keeps life, what keeps your marriage as a particular example now, is the supply of the grace of God. Now, this is something. You will see that the Bible used, I've said this before, there are very few people in the scriptures that God ever used as examples for marriage. Very, very few. In fact, we can count it again. Most importantly, Christ and the church. All right? After that, you hear of the way it was in the beginning. Adam and Eve. And that's because God, you know, that was the foundation of it. After that, about all you hear about is Abraham and Sarah. And then when they are given example of female conduct, you will see that Peter specifically picked Sarah. Paul also refers to Sarah. Are you getting my point? Now, the reason is because they will tell you about submission, about humility, about deferring to the husband. And if you have the Amplified Bible, read what Peter has to say using the Amplified Bible. But what I want to bring out from here is that you will see something here. The woman made a statement about an issue to God and then to her husband and then left the matter there. I started talking about nagging at the beginning. Let me tell you this. What is nagging? I don't know the biblical, the English word for it, the meaning of it. But I'll tell you what I have come to perceive from the scriptures and from my experience in life. It's simple. When you state a matter, it is not carried out. You state it again. It's not carried out. And you continue stating it, trying to wear out your spouse by your much coming. Do you know if you shout something hard enough, somebody go hear? Even God, you cannot give him into blessing you. God, all my friends are driving cars now. It's only me. After all, the gospel has been preaching for you. You don't forget to sow a seed for anything you want in your life. God, that's my car. Okay, this night we are going to pray all night for something important. God, you know that after some time, God said, okay. Can I have some peace? Oh, yeah, give him one car. After 2 days, you wreck it, break one leg inside. You know, they'll hang the leg for 8 months. At the end of 8 months, you will have learned some lessons. They say, anybody want a car? Hey, not me. the appropriate time. No, I'm serious. Now, I'm trying to bring out the issue that, you see, in this situation, what happened was that the woman stated something, and that's why the Bible uses as an example. I can assure you of one thing. She made a statement to her husband once, and then she left it there. Now, there is something about God being the defender of the defenseless. God says he's the husband to the widow. He says that he's the father to the fatherless. What he means by all of this is that I am the one that defends people that don't have a defense. I hope you get my point. That is, you are strong. Maybe like in this particular situation, what the woman said was very grievous in the eyes of everybody, every man. But anybody with spiritual understanding will know that what she said, though grievous, was right. But she did not have the ability to enforce what she said that was right, because she was somebody under authority. That is, in effect, she has become like a widow. Are you getting my point? She has become like a fatherless. Therefore, God becomes her defense. That was why God now took the step and went to the husband and instructed him to go and listen to the voice of his wife. Otherwise, actually, because the woman came issuing the man an instruction, listen to this, it doesn't sound very nice to people, especially women who have not heard the word of God. The woman came, said, drive this woman away. Gave the man an instruction. As a rule, a husband must never obey. Did you hear what I said? As a rule, he must never obey. Let me say it again. As a rule, he must never obey. If your wife issues you an instruction, you don't obey the instruction. You are turning the order around. Are you getting my point? You are not going to bless her. You are not going to bless yourself. When God was going to judge Adam, he said, because you have obeyed the voice of your wife. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That was the problem. No, I know what I'm saying, though. It is not that, I'm not saying the man must never listen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I didn't say that. I said what? He must never be instructed by his wife. Listen, you can't be a boss in an office and your secretary gives you instructions. It's the same principle. Are you getting my point? The woman came and said, do this. And the man said, you can't be serious about that. But this is the beauty about it. What she said was right. Now, you see, we are trying to balance many things here. What she said was what? It was right. But she didn't have the power to execute it. She didn't have the power. The person who had the power to execute it refused. This is how a nagging woman behaves. Come back. That thing we discussed yesterday. Hafa. You know, you're always very slow when I talk about things like this. When the whole thing spoils now, they will say, I did not say anything. And let heaven bear me record that I've said my own. The next day, they come back. He said, well, now that I'm part of this, I won't say anything again. Last time I told them in the office, they did not listen. I didn't say anything. But this is my house. I mean, this is my house. I wouldn't know we're not doing it. I have said this. You know this. That is pure and simple nagging. It is not good. It is a bad thing. You know the interesting part? I don't know whether this is good or bad. But no, this is not good. It is not bad. It is natural. The natural response of a man is that he ignores you further. I'm not saying it is good. I'm not saying it is bad. It's just natural. The natural thing is that he won't answer you. Now, note what I'm saying. I am not saying Sarah will not talk to his wife and to her husband. Don't even forget, it was obeying the words of Sarah that brought this problem in the first place. You are getting what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying a woman doesn't talk to her husband. I'm just saying she doesn't instruct him. It's not, you know, it's God's order we are learning. Then number two is that you must have faith. You must walk by faith. Do you get my point? Now, what do I mean by that? You must believe that your husband is wise and is intelligent, and God is helping him and God is leading him. Therefore, if he is slow to take decisions, you must exercise self-control in not hounding him. I'm not saying you will never remind him. Are you forgetting that thing I said? No, I haven't. All right. I just wanted to be sure. Simple. So what if you will refuse to move? That's why God defends the person who cannot execute what is right. Who made this guy move here? God. I said, you must learn to walk by faith. That is absolutely correct. It's, in fact, that is the only weapon that somebody who is supposed to be subordinate to somebody else, that's the weapon you have. Bishop Oyedepo's wife, if you hear Bishop talk, Bishop talks very, very, you know what I mean? You know, powerfully, huh? So he makes statements like, no, my wife doesn't even need to think. I do all the thinking in the house. The woman will just look and just smile. The truth is that that's what he thinks. The reality is that after thinking and thinking, he thinks out what she wants him to do. She gave a testimony once. He wanted to choose a school for their kids. He said, look, they should go to this school. He said, no, I think they should go to that one. So she left it and went home and prayed and said, God, I think that school is better. And you know the school is better. And the Lord said, fine. Then the husband came one day and said, actually, you know, I've been thinking about it. That school, I think it's a better school. The woman said, yeah, you know. Then he comes and says, I do all the thinking in the house. That's what he thinks. The truth is that, you know, this is a joke. He said, one day, one pastor said that every man that his wife is controlling should come to this side. All the big men, fat men, large men, hairy men, they came to one side. All the men controlling their wives should come to this side. The one tiny pink chomic man came alone to the other side. So the pastor came, how come? You are so strong, go. You are the only one here that's controlling your wife. He said, actually, sir, my wife said I should come here. All right, let me continue what I'm saying. Now, so, you see, I'm just going to talk about the order in the home, the weapons that people are supposed to use. But for me, I just believe that faith is a primary thing. I always tell my wife this, that, see, there is never, there's never a decision I take, all right, that's primarily from my own good, which I don't know the meaning of that anyway, but there's no, I never do that. Because I put everything into perspective. I choose, I look at everything. So even though I have the finances, are you getting my point? It doesn't mean I do what I feel is good for me. It just means that I have the responsibility, do you follow my point, to look at your life and, I mean, I'm supposed to be a husband. You get my point? So I should husband very well. If I think you are doing what is not right, then I should let you know it is not right. And if it is really, really bad, then I must put my foot down that you don't do what is bad. Because I am held liable. Listen, this is this order of the scripture. So a husband is held liable for every action his wife takes that he was aware about or aware of. He agreed or not is not the point. Spiritually, you are held liable once you are aware of it. Whether you said yes or no in your heart is not the problem. Once you are aware and you did not actively stop it, do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, I mean, because why was Eli punished? Did Eli sleep with the women in the tent? No. Did he defraud anybody? No. Did he misuse the sacrifice of God? No. God said, you heard of what your sons were doing, and you did not sack them from being priest. So he got a full dose of their judgment. Why? He heard that an interesting thing? He actually talked to them. The Bible said that he called them and said, boys, if a man sins against another, he not say man go judge between them. But when you are now sinning against God, who will defend you against God though? You know what you are doing is not good though. Say old school. Daddy doesn't understand. Daddy is too slow. Man, they are sharp. All right, Daddy, we have heard. Is that why you called us? Yes. All right. Bye-bye. For that, when they were going to be judged, God, in fact, the judgment was directed to him, not even them. If he wanted to spare himself of judgment, he would have called and said, what did I hear happened? Listen to the story. Here's another story. It is true. Instantly, he announces to Israel that these two boys are no longer priests. Then God will punish them individually. That is how he will have spared himself. You know, say that, look, my hand no deal. Yes, your hand no deal. But you could have done something to stop the actions. The power was in your hands and you refused to exercise it. Therefore, you are liable. You get the principle here? That's just the way it is. Husband, look, that's why they said, for this cause shall a man leave his father. It's not shall a boy, like somebody said. No, if you are not ready to take such, you know, liabilities on your head, then please, just remain as a single boy. Are you getting what I'm saying? But as a man, you get my point. The sin of other people starts entering your head. Your wife sins, they punish you. It's a spiritual thing, and I'm serious about it. What I'm telling you is serious. Your wife is doing business, and she's defrauding people, and you know. Eh? You know what you do? If you don't want the company you started to fold because of judgment of the trade of your wife somewhere else, you are better... No, categorically, from this house, you do no business. Go and find a salary job. I said, my wife is very fast. She's very, very sharp. I know, my wife is smart. You know the girl is a thief. No, you know she's a rogue. And you think you will found a company tomorrow and it will do well. Listen, this is a spiritual thing. The judgment for her sin that you are aware of is thrown to your head also. So tomorrow, after you do opening ceremony, then suddenly rain will fall, lightning will strike, and your building catches fire. Why? Because of money your wife stole in Cameroon. It's not you. You were not there. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right, please, our time is really gone. Let me just summarize that, please, so that we won't just leave it hanging halfway. Then we'll continue from there. The point I wanted to make from there is the fact that that was the principle of submission in the woman's life that was highlighted there. She made her statement, and then she left it. All right? And she was well-respected by God for that. All right? Because the Bible said that some people are highly esteemed. Sarah was someone that was highly esteemed. She made her point. The man did not hear it, and she left it. And then God now stood in defense of what was right. If she had gone around hounding and hounding the man, God would never have said anything. Are you getting my point? God said, you can take care of it, then go ahead and handle it. Why do I have to bother myself? I hope you're getting that point.